Well, good evening, everybody. We've got Brother Curtis Robertson here, extended hand to God Highway Ministries. He's going to tell us a little story tonight that I think everyone will be blessed by and need to tune in here to it. There's a good lesson here. So, Brother Curtis.
Thank you very much. This here has to do with what the Lord does in people's lives and what He gives to do. It's not about me. It's not about anything else except what God does in people's lives if they allow Him to work in their lives by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And what He does in our lives, sometimes He calls us to do things, and we're like, well, no, Lord, I don't know if I won't do that or not, you know. I ain't never done this. And we get doing what I call into Moses mode a lot of times, and we look for excuses not to do what He's telling us to do, especially when it comes to praying for. He may give you somebody to pray for, and you may feel like that you're not adequate enough to pray for that person, or that person does not like you, or you maybe don't really care for that person, or different situations and scenarios go with this whole thing, with what I'm talking about here. Because if we're true servants of God and we're true children of the King, when He asks us to do stuff, He expects us to obey and not put off and not put aside. And sometimes the Lord will has given me people to pray for, and I had to pray for them. But He says you can't say nothing to them. He'll tell you stuff about what's going on and then the reason you need to pray for it. And you say, well, I'm going to tell them and that'll help them out. And the Lord says, no, you can't tell them because they need your help. They need you to step on the battlefield. They need you to be praying for them for this situation. But it's between me and them. They have to make this decision between me and them because that's what it is. They just need you. They're spiritually backing them. And then there's times that the Lord will give you somebody or something to pray for, and He'll tell you, okay, you need to tell this person this or whatever, what's going on and what you're feeling, so they can do whatever they need to do or whatever they feel to do. As you tell them the prompting in their spirit, most of the time will bear witness to what they need to do and how they need to do it. So sometimes we get wrapped up in these things. There's times that the Lord will tell you to give somebody $5. There's times the Lord will tell you to not to give nobody nothing. There's times the Lord will tell you to go mow somebody's yard. The Lord, when we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, the dynamics of the movement of the Holy Spirit starts to move within us, and it gives us an unction to do exactly what He's telling us to do, although we may not understand it nor have any idea about it. Now, fortunately, the Lord has allowed me to be able to be in that situation, and I'm assuming He's allowed everybody to be in the situation in what I just spoke. And why I say fortunately, because if we can be used by God in any way, shape, or form, Sunday school teacher, preacher, or whatever, then we're fortunate. It's something that God is in, that we're in a place where God can use us, and we're fixing to grow into a place where He can use us even more. So when we get to looking at things around about us, sometimes we don't understand it, and we don't know why, but God does, and He knows exactly what's going on. Now myself, I've been in that position several times to, you know, be praying for people and stuff, and the Lord give you people to pray for. And it's just in one particular time that I remember that I was going to a church, and there was a little minister there, and he had an anointing on him that was, when the Holy Spirit fell on him, he was all over the place. I mean, he'd be on his chair, he'd be up behind the pulpit, he'd be out in the audience, the Holy Spirit was on him to the point that he couldn't hold still. And he would preach under the anointing of the Holy Spirit with such a deep anointing that when it would come forth, you'd be able to feel the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was welcome to come into that church. The Holy Spirit was welcome to have his control of his life, to lead him through that particular sermon and sermons. And, you know, the guy started in that church basically when I first met him and was talking to him, the Lord told me, you know, that He said, you know, he'll continue to do what and follow my leading. He said, I'll turn this church into three churches. And he said, you know, he told me I could tell him that. Well, I told him that, and basically I didn't know it, but the Lord had been dealing with him in that area, which would give him a confirmation. This is the way the Lord comes to us a lot of times. Somebody will say something to us, and it will be a confirmation of what the Lord is already trying to get us to do, and as we go through it. So the Lord allowed me to share with him what he was putting in my spirit, and it bore witness to him, which that helps you when you're a pastor or you're a teacher or whatever. That helps you to continue to move forward, to get more of what the Holy Spirit's putting in you, to make you a little hungrier. And so as I started into this church, and we were getting ready for a building, we were going to build the church. They were going to build it debt-free. And so it was to a point in place. They had already bought the land. And like I said, I'd had the Lord give me people to pray for before in many different times, you know, and situations to pray for. And this time, the Lord gave me a piece of ground, which was the piece of ground that they had purchased to buy the church with, you know, to put the church on. And he continued with that, kept telling me to pray over it. And he brought it to my, and brought it into my spirit, and as I heard the word come in, says, walk around that property. As a matter of fact, I was sitting in church one night, and the property, I had never looked at it, never went to see it. I just knew that they was going to build a church at. And the Holy Spirit put it in my spirit. Go pray over that property. Don't only pray over that property. Walk that property 7 times around. Well, I don't mind telling you, but when he said walk the property 7 times around, I was thinking, Lord, how big is this property? Because, you know, because I didn't really know how much I was going to have to walk 7 times around. And so as I got to thinking about it, and I asked him where it was at, and I said, okay, Lord, I'll just, you know, he told me, tell the minister what I was doing, because he lived on the property, and in order for him to know what I was out there walking around the property for, that he needed to know. So I told him, I said, the Lord, you know, directed me to walk 7 times around this property, just like Jericho walked around the wall 7 times. And on the 7th day, I walked around it 7 times, and they broke the pictures, and the walls come tumbling down. Well, this case, the Lord was telling me to walk around this property 7 times. And as I walked around this property, that the things that were there, whatever it was, I didn't know. I just, basically, what he was telling me to do. And I just whatever was there was what needed to be gone. And as I prayed over those things, then the walls would be built around it for protection, just like the walls of Jericho were built around that city for protection. And basically, what he was telling me to do is walk around it and pray for it. Walk around it and pray over it. And as you tear the old walls that's there down, then the new walls will be being built up and be strong. And I really didn't know what he was talking about. It was kind of a blind deal for me. I'd never done this, and I really didn't know what I was getting into. All I knew is that the Lord said to do it. Whether I understood it or not, the Lord had a reason for doing it. And that's the main thing, that when we're willing to follow what the Lord says to do, and we're willing to go and we're willing to show, we're willing to show up and be available to do what God wants us to do. Because in the availability of what God wants us to do is victories. In the availability of what God wants us to do is deliverances. Not only for what you're going at, but in your own life as well. There are many times when God asks you to do something, it basically is taking care of something in your life where you can heal, where you can grow, and where you can show the Spirit of the Lord in you. And anyway, I told the pastor what I was going to do. He said, all right, that sounds good to me. You know, basically he was in agreement with that. He was a position of authority. That position is what we all need to realize, that when we're going to a church somewhere or we're in an organization somewhere, there's somebody that's in charge of that. They're in a position of authority. And basically, we're to come under that position of authority. At what point in time you don't want to come under that position of authority, you need to find you someplace else to be instead of coming against it. You know, it's all right for you to go tell the pastor and say, you know, I see this and this and this, and I'm just wondering about that. Don't get me wrong. Communication is vital in our church services and in our churches and in our communities. If you don't have communication, then you don't have nothing. So basically, you need to just take it and if there's something going on that you don't understand or that your spirit is not feeling right, basically you need to go in and consult with the person that's in authority, and whether it's an organizational thing or whether it's a church thing. And basically, there you put it out there. Not, don't go mean. Don't go with attitude. Don't go as a biting dog. Go as a gentle lamb and allow the people to realize you're not coming to cause conflict, but you're coming to ask because you need to know and you need, in order to, that the Lord can show you what's going on. Because a lot of times the Lord can't show us unless we're willing to put it out there. We're willing to lay it out there. And then when we open up ourselves to ask these questions, then the Lord, we've opened ourselves to hear the answer from the Lord as well as from the people. So that was why I was doing it under the, letting the pastor know what was going on. Anyway, and I think it was the second time I started walking the property. First day I walked the property and walked in and prayed over it. And the second day I was walking the property, I come around the corner there. There was a straight line across the road frontage there. And then there was a side road frontage to the left. And as I turned to the left and walked down the side road frontage, and about 20 foot in front of me was a black cobra snake. Now, I don't know, when I seen it, I was like, whoa. And it caused me to stop my tracks. Of course, some people wouldn't stop. But it wasn't no big deal then. But this black cobra snake was sitting and bent on his tail and sitting up with his head spread. And there's three white dots on that and on his head. And basically, that was one of the reasons that brought it to me, that they identified the fact that it was actually there because it was so unusual. And as he stood up on his tail, basically he was blocking my way. In order for me to continue my walk and my prayer, I had to walk right through where he was at. And when I got to looking at it, I started praying, Lord, what is this about? Why a snake? Well, the thing about it is a cobra snake stands on their tail, and then as they spread their head and they start moving back and forth, they'll mesmerize you. In other words, they get you so kind of hypnotized, and you're sitting there in that point in place. And that's when they strike. And when they strike, they're deadly. But they've got you slow. Basically, the cobra snake, the characteristics of that snake was what the Lord was showing me. That was one of the spirits that was already on that property that had to go. And that's how that spirit would come at people and come against people. It would come in subtly, and it would start to... And as I continue to watch that snake there, Lord, let me know when I was praying, Lord, what is this and how, what is the meaning? He was letting me know the characteristics of it. And see, when the enemy comes at us, the spirit that comes against us, they come to destroy us, because the Bible says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, this particular spirit would come as a cobra snake. It would come in. It would kind of hypnotize the people, and it was when it was struck, the devastation that it would cause within a church, a group of people that was fixing to move into that area and on that piece of ground would be of catastrophic proportion. And basically, I asked the Lord, I said, "What is this?" And that's when He told me that this is one of the spirits that you're dealing with. This is the way it works. This is the destruction it causes. It causes death of friendship. It causes death of relationship. It causes the death of a church. Basically, on that piece of property, the enemy had already set up camp with that one spirit there. And basically, and on that corner. As I looked at it, I said, okay, Lord, the Holy Spirit, I need to know exactly what to do. He said, take authority over the spirit. Bind it up and cast it down. And then take authority over the cobra spirit that's coming forth against us. And you say, well, the Bible don't say nothing about it. Let me give you a little piece of information. When Paul and Silas got thrown in jail, Paul cast spirit out of the woman that was following him around because he had always wanted to hear about it. She was telling the truth, but she was under the spirit of divination, which is a different spirit. And basically, whenever she was coming against him, whenever you go back and read that story, and please do, you'll find out that it talks about that they were people of the python. And it talks about a python spirit in that particular place in their lives. So, yes, the Bible does speak of the enemy coming and with the characteristics of a snake and characteristics of different animals in different ways. And as it continued to go on here, so I started doing what the Holy Spirit was telling me. I took authority over it. I bound it up. I cast it down. And the cobra spirit thereof, and the conditions and the attributes of thereof. And as I did, the cobra just started to melt away. I stood there and watched him go from being full-blown to being nothing. And I don't mind telling you that when I walked on that spot of the ground, I was still looking around. So I continued my walk that day and continued to pray and dedicate the ground to the Lord and tear down any walls and stronghold that was there. Well, that's the third day or fourth day I walked around it, the fourth time I walked around it. As I was walking where the auditorium was supposed to be, there were some dark figures in a spot right there about where the pulpit ended up being, right in front of it. And those figures would come together as I would get around to that corner. Those figures, that they would be a little spread out in front of it. And then as I come to that area, they would clump together. Now, clumping together indicates the fact that those spirits would come together for a stronghold. For the enemy knows full well that there's strength in numbers. And as I watched this thing, as I watched the figures come together, I started praying over it. Well, I didn't know what it was. Now, the worst thing you can do is attack something that you don't know what it is. The worst thing you can do is come at something without having enough information, without asking in the spirit or in the flesh. And because, basically, if you don't know what you're coming after, you don't know how to approach. You don't know how to take authority over it. You don't know how to find its stronghold, its strength, and then its weakness. You don't know those things. So basically in your life and my life, is if we go along, when we see things that we don't exactly understand in the flesh or in the spirit, then we start asking the Holy Spirit, I need to know. The Holy Spirit is a perfect teacher. So whenever you start asking him what's going on, he's the one that knows what's going on in the spirit realm. You know, and basically, our Father that looks up on us from above, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they see all things and they know all things. And as these things start coming against us, well, you'll take time to start asking, Lord, what is this? And Holy Spirit, I need to see what's going on here. I need to see what my battle is. He will show you your battle. He will also tell you how to go about taking it. Now, the trouble is people get in a hurry to jump into a battle. Because they see it and they're like, oh, we're going to take care of that. Well, that's fine and good. But whenever you're getting ready to jump into a battle, remember, walk around that battle. Basically, that's what I was doing. I was walking around that property and I was praying. And I got to asking the Lord, what is it? What's the enemy here? What's this here coming to be? And I started praying over it. I walked around and the next day I walked around it. And the same thing happened right there in the same spot. And that day the Lord told me, he says, this is what's inside the church. This will be people that will come into to cause problems with this. This will cause a situation to cause this church to be destroyed, to be brought down. These are people, and some of them are good people. They don't even realize that they're basically coming against the church by coming against other people and other things. And there was one dark figure in the middle. And it kind of coming and crowned that dark figure. I didn't know what it was, but I knew that the Lord was telling me that this is what will destroy the church. And basically the people that come together and they come together to make what they want right and to have it their way and make it right. As they come together, they basically end up destroying the church. Because the dark figures and the spirits that they carry are contagious. They will spread into the rest of the congregation, people not even knowing it. And as I continued to pray for that, I walked around it, and I continued to pray for it that day and all the rest of the property. And the next day when I started, back to around that property, when I got back to that corner again, and I started to see them coming together, Holy Spirit says, now's the time to take care of this situation. It has to be taken care of before it can even be started. And I started taking authority over them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The confusion, the strife, and different spirits started, the Holy Spirit started naming as I was taking authority over them, binding them up and casting them down. And discontent, hatred, contempt for one another. All those things, all those dark figures, these were the spirits that were trying to set themselves in place to destroy this church before it was ever built, is what the Lord was showing me. And as I started taking authority over them, binding them up and casting them down, and I had to walk, circle around that area. I had to walk around that spiritual situation as I was praying for it. Not the whole property at that day, at that point in time, but around that particular area. And as I continued to walk it, they, like the snake, they dissipated. Were gone. And then I had to continue my walk on around the property, praying for it, and going on. As I continued to walk around the property, about 2 days after that, I think it was. Anyway, as I continued to walk the property, one day I was coming through there walking the property, praying over it. And then on the right-hand side there, down the road frontage. And I got to the back corner of it, and I looked down the street. And what I seen was a black knight come riding hard. I mean, he was riding so hard that the black horse he rode on was starting to get plastered. Anybody know anything about a horse when they got to get up some pretty good temperature and minimum? But as he was coming, everything on him was just dark black as it could be. The horse's hoofs was black and shiny. The whole thing, I mean, it's all, it was the black knight. And I was like, whoa, I've heard about this black knight. And most people have, if they've heard any kind of stories about it. And the black knight basically was a knight that was a mercenary of degree, to my best of my understanding. And he was a mercenary without mercy. When he came, there was devastation, there was destruction. And as he rode toward that corner, and not by himself, but he had a group with him. And as they rode toward that corner, hard and wide open, they was coming in. And the Lord said, give me the scripture. When the enemy comes in like a flood, I'll set up a standard against him. And he said, set up a standard against him. You pray a standard right here. You stand right here. You take authority over it. You put up a standard right here at this corner. So this corner is the only place that he can enter this property at this time. But it's the only place he can enter this property at all. And I started taking authority over and binding them up, casting them down, and telling them, Lord, set up a standard. Whatever it takes to stop the black knight, whatever it takes to stop these soldiers as they come forth to come in on this property, to take it over. And I started taking authority over it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And I mean, it wasn't one of them little bitty prayers. And basically, I can't tell you every word I spoke in those prayers because the Holy Spirit was taking care of business. And as I stood there, I watched him. He rode up to that corner. And he stopped. And he stepped down from the saddle. And basically, they started making camp. And they made camp right there on that corner, black knight in the midst. And I was saying, Lord, well, why can't we just, he said, that's where they are. They can't come no further. This is where they stop. It's been set forth. Standard has been set forth that they can't come again. Now, as these things were happening, I told the pastor, of course, sometimes people look at you a little weird, and they look at you a little funny, and they don't believe me, as you may not yourself. That's okay. That's between you and God. And the thing about it is I went ahead and I told the pastor all these things because I was under his authority and that's what I was supposed to do. And that's what the the Lord was directing me to the Holy Spirit to that. So the church went ahead and was built. The property was basically set forth. The pastor asked, and I pray over it, consecrate the property in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I did exactly what he said. And then whenever I got to my last day, that I walked the seventh time around, the Lord said, walk it across from left to right. And then walk it all the way back down the boundary line again and walk it from right to left. Basically, he had me walk a crisscross across the property to where I walked it, and then there was to the very center of the property and back out as well. And by doing that, what the Lord had asked me to do was done. He still wanted me to pray for the pastor and the church and those things. He was still prompting me to pray for these things at that point in time. And so the church was built. Nice big church. And we had some awesome services in there. The young man would get up there and he would preach. Oh, man, the Spirit of the Lord would move. People would get saved. People would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Had a praise and worship going on. There was anointing upon that. I mean, it was just totally awesome the way the Lord would do. And one night, several nights that I had Sunday mornings as well, that I was fed there within that church house, and there was a set of doors to the east that was put in that church. And of a morning, you'd be sitting there praying. As you would pray and watch the congregation move, you could watch the Spirit of the Lord move into that auditorium. It would move across the auditorium, to and fro, like an ocean coming into the shore. And it comes up on the beach and it washes back down, and then back up on the beach and back down. So basically, that's what it was like inside that church house with the Spirit of the Lord, to and fro. And there was, there's people getting healed, people delivered, people getting saved, people getting filled with the Holy Spirit. The Lord was moving, and he had the freedom to do so. I mean, it was just totally awesome to sit in that presence. The thing about it is, once I had told the pastor what I seen and what I had prayed to, it was his place to stand guard at that point in time. And it's still my place to pray for it, but it was his place to make sure, because he was the authority in that church and the authority over that church. Basically, it was up to him to say, don't pray no more for it. Leave it alone, I've got it. Or help me pray about it. And he brought some people in that would, and set them in places that were supposed to be doing that, supposedly. And the thing about it is, those people evidently didn't know or didn't understand what the deal was as far as being able to stand that ground. And as time went on, I watched the dark figures that had been there start to creep back into that church. And I watched them start to move in the church, and all the spirits that I named before, the discontent, the confusion, the pride, and all those things, they come back and started moving back in. And they were moving in within the people that were under his authority, the other people was under their authority. Basically, they were moving into the point and place of controlling the church and these people. Like I said, some of them good people didn't realize what they were doing. They just wanted it the way they wanted it. And it can come to a time that the praying wasn't where it should have been in order for people to listen and do what they needed to do. And during that time, that's when things started coming apart. And I was sitting there one night and I was praying and we was having a good service. And I was praying about what was going on and asking the Lord, we need to, thank you for the move of the Spirit. And even in spite of what was going on in the situations that were going on. But what was happening, people were getting discontent. But that night I sat there and watched, and the Spirit moved in, but it wasn't welcome. They were doing their own thing. It became something that man had control of. And as the Spirit moved in, basically, man set him down because he would not move. The people would not move under the anointing. The minister wasn't moving under the anointing. The people that were in charge under him was not moving under the anointing. Basically, you got interference. The congregation does not move if the flow is not correct. When the people in charge set the Holy Spirit down and do not welcome him in, then you hinder him from flowing. Anywhere you're on these lines, whether you're in a church, wherever you're at, if the Holy Spirit tells you to stand up and raise your arms and nobody else is doing it, don't worry about it, because you're the key to that service. You're the one he's asking to move. You're the one he's fixing to use to cause the dynamic movement of the Holy Spirit to break out. But if you refuse, you take the responsibility of hindering the flow of the Holy Spirit, whether you're the pastor, whether you're the deacon, whether you're on the board, wherever you're at. If you're standing there with a broom in your hand, and you're in the name of three of you in there, and the Holy Spirit prompts you to raise your hands and start praising the Lord, you don't do it, you're responsible for not following the leading of the Lord. You're responsible for not being obedient, and I as well. Anyway, keep from preaching that sermon. That'll be what somebody else preach. The thing about it is, whenever you get to looking at this, I watch those spirits come together. And that night, the Holy Spirit come in those doors and started to move like he had before. And he wasn't welcome. And as I watched him move back and back out the doors, Holy Spirit said, I won't be back until I'm welcome. That's sad. That is sad. When you've seen the move of the Lord so great in the church, so great in the congregation, so great in the crowd, and he's no longer welcome, because man has got his eyes set on money, has got his eyes set on prestige and position, because man wants it done his way, because man is offended if certain things happen in the church. And as you continue to go, the next thing you know, you have pushed the Holy Spirit out of your church house, out of your congregation, out of your people and your gathering. And he's no longer welcome. Then you've set him down. That's what happened. The dark figures came back to the front. And as I continue to watch between the people, I begin to watch the movement of that old cobra come back in amongst the crowd. And that chiming, and next thing you know, the venomous bites of the tongue and to meet each other and everything come back in. And they getting hypnotized because of somebody else that you thought was a great person and you thought they were doing. And then next thing you know, that venomous bite from that person would come and it would destroy each other, just like was there to start with. The thing about it is, what was there was taken care of. But they would not keep him out. They did not stand guard. They did not watch for these things. They were told. It was set forth. The Holy Spirit set a way to make it work. And as it continued to go on, basically, the Lord was praying for the minister one night, and all there was to left to pray for. You know, the people were still coming, but there was just, and there was people leaving faster than they were coming in because of these spirits. When they take hold, they destroy a church. They take it, they take it apart like a bunch of people that see the brand new car sitting there, and they'll take it, and they're going to take it apart, and they're going to sell the parts off. They strip the church of the movement of the Lord God Almighty and the Holy Spirit in it, as these spirits do. And as people allow these spirits to have control in their life, basically, the spirits have got control. And anyway, I continued to watch this young man, and he still had an anointing on him. It wasn't what it was before, because his eyes were set on TV ministry and money at that point in time. But I was praying for him one night, and the Lord says, he's coming into a crossroads. And he's coming to a crossroads to make a decision about what anointing he's going to walk under. Is he going to walk under anointing that he's going to please man? Or is he going to walk under anointing that he's going to please God? Now see, if you're willing to walk under a certain anointing to a point, God will use you any way he can because he's trying to get everybody under. That don't mean you're where you can, where you could or should be. That means you've just decided that you're going to be there. And you can only be used in a certain amount of time in a certain way because you have chosen that. Now, the thing about it is, when you take the bridle off the horse and he starts to run, that's where you want to be. You want to be where you're unbridled, the spirit in your life, to move forward, and you keep hanging on to the mane. It's like if you took the bridle off a horse and you jumped on him bareback and grabbed it holding the mane. You want to be that one that's on him bareback holding the mane, holding on for dear life. Strap yourself in for the ride. Because when you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, you're fixing to see something dynamic happen. If you allow him to, and if you make the right decision, then if you're a pastor, or you're a preacher, or you're a leader, the responsibility is that much more. You can choose, but you have to choose to be all you can be for God, or you have to choose to be a man pleaser and be only a part of what you can be for God. As I continue to pray for the pastor, the Lord showed me a fork in the road. He says he's fixing to have to make a decision. The left fork, he could be a man pleaser, and he could walk in the money part of it, and he could, and there was a percentage of the anointing that was there, enough to still stand and preach, enough to still work among the people, but that's it. Just to fill the place. Just enough to be there. Just enough to be moved. Just enough to live good off of the money. Just enough to have the Spirit moving in them to say, now there's a man of God, he's a preacher. And if you went too far, you can get plumb out from under that. And you don't want to be there. If you're a preacher, you're a pastor, you come out of seminary, you've got the paperwork to be what you think God wants you to be. And you can do it. Don't do it by the education you have. Don't do it by the money that you got. Do it by the leading of the Lord, and it will be above and beyond. Take the story of Solomon and take a look at what happens when you decide to step out in God's favor. God told Solomon, you can have whatever you want. All the riches, basically Solomon said, no. All I want is wisdom. Just give me your wisdom, Lord. And with that one request, Solomon was known as, and still is known as, was the smartest man that ever lived. Wisdom thereof, decision. And that don't mean he didn't fall and come short of the glory of the Lord because he went his own way. He decided to take the left and the fork of the road himself, Solomon did, instead of the right road, which he was already on. The Lord showed me the left fork. It wasn't, you know, it was a minimum. I only showed me the right fork. To walk under the full anointing of the Lord God Almighty. Oh, wow, what a ride. He showed me him standing there before the congregation and preaching God's word and coming forth under the anointing and full anointing of the Holy Spirit. And people sitting there without a limb, and that limb grow, that leg would grow, that arm would grow under that anointing that was there. He had the choice to walk under that dynamic anointing. To be able to see people even more so healed and delivered in ways, shapes, and forms that we only talk about, that we hear stories about. That was the anointing. The right fork, which was basically when he made his decision that's the way it would have been. And I'm sad to say, he chose the left fork. And as he chose the left fork, the black knight that was sitting at the corner of the property. I was over there one day, and I was walking. I would go and walk along the property from time to time and pray over it a little bit. Because that's, you know, that's what you do. The Lord gives you something. You don't just get to walk palm away from it. When he tells you to go pray, you go pray over. Whether it's people, whether it's dogs, whether it's cats, whether it's cars, when he gives you something, you go pray over. And I went that day and was told me to go pray over the road running on the front part of the property. And I went and I started praying over it. And as I walked to the center of the road frontage, I looked to my left. And the black knight had saddled up. Him and his men, and they were riding hard. And I was, Lord, don't let this, because it's not your call anymore. I said, but Lord, you know what's going to happen. I see the black knight, when I first seen him, I asked the Lord, I said, what does it mean? He said, this black knight will strike like the black knight on the chessboard. So the black knight on the chessboard is one of the deadliest pieces on the chessboard. He can strike from any direction, north, south, east, west, south, east, north, east, whatever direction he wants to strike from. He's dead. And basically, and then the minister come to that particular point and made the choice to go with the money and pleasing man. As he basically walked away from standing watch over what God had given him to start with. And the black knight rode to the center of the property. And he controls that property from the center. If you're going to control an area, if you're in the center of that area, you can control it more efficiently. It can kill anything that comes within a firing zone of it, a field of fire. In the military, they teach you to have a field of fire. But if you're in the center of it, you've got a 360-degree field of fire around about you. And basically, that's what it was. And he chose to go the other way. He chose to go with the minimal anointing, to follow the money, and to follow man. I said, Lord, let me tell him. He said, this is the decision he has to make. All you can do is pray that he'll make the right decision. All you can do is pray that he'll reach back and invite the Holy Spirit back into this church. All you can do is pray that he'll start treating people the way they should be treated. That he won't trample on them no more. And he won't use the ones that are around about him to trample on people. Because those dark spirits, as they came together, that's what they were doing, trampling on the congregation. And they're being, pushing them away. People were being hurt. Some of them still don't go to church today because of what happened there. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm just telling you what happened. You know, this can do you or myself or anybody else any good, praise the Lord. But don't. And the shoe don't fit you, don't put it on. And whatever you do, don't tie it up. Because it'll crimp your toes up and you'll hurt all the time. The thing about it is when you start looking at this, you start realizing that God is in control if you allow him to be. The Holy Spirit will move so freely, so dynamically in your life and my life that all we can do is stand around and say, wow. Because that's who he is and what he does. That's who our Lord and Savior is, and that's what he does. But you have to allow him to move, and you have to be in prayer to ask him, which way should I go? Give me a direction. And we have to be willing to trust the Lord enough to take that direction. The devil will tell you there's not enough money there to feed your family. There's nothing. You can't do this. These people won't accept you. He'll tell you everything he can tell you. It caused you to be discouraged and walk away. But if you're not going to have a little battle at it, maybe keep going the right direction anyway. And if the enemy's not coming against you, then he's not worried too much about where you're at. Where's your prayer life at? Where's your decision-making prayers at? Where's your closet time when you're on your knees? These are things that keep the Holy Spirit moving in you, through you, and around about you. If you have a church, these are the things that cause the Holy Spirit to move in you, around you, and about you in your church, in you and around about you in your church, your people. These are the things that will cause you, when one of those old nasty spirits stick up his head like the old cobra. Then the Holy Spirit will say, there he is. That one, then the Holy Spirit will give you the strength, as he did on the day of Pentecost, to those 11 that had run and hid. Then they boldly stood and proclaimed the gospel of the word, and did so basically until they're surmising that boldness that you need in order to stand it. If you don't have it, ask for it. If you want God to do something in your life and that will affect other people's lives and be infectious, then let God have control. Give up and let God take over. And through that, you're yielding to the Holy Spirit to bring it forth. And to this very day, that black knight still sits at the center of that property. And to this day, that church still sits empty. There's been two or three people that went in and tried to start it. But the church was built so big, the money in order to be able to open the doors is so dynamic that people have to walk away from. They've never been able to go back and open that church. The black knight still sits at the center of the property. He still controls every corner of it. There be, until you go back, somebody goes in, takes the place, and takes back what they allowed the devil to steal from them, then it will remain empty. And the bad thing about it is the congregation of three to five hundred is what the church was originally built to hold, and it's been expanded since. It has a youth center that is big enough to house probably 80 youth in any given night on the side. It has a piece of property that is big enough to expand it to some of the size of some of the biggest mega churches there is. And that's what the Lord had intended for that to be. Not only that, but he had intended for there to be three more churches grow of substantial size off of that ministry. Money, desire to be a prestige of man, to be and becoming a man pleaser. Now, a church sits empty with people hurt to the point that some of them won't even darken the door because man got in the way of what God wanted to do. Man made a choice to be a man pleaser and not a God pleaser. So if you're in a position of authority or fiction to be there, I hope this story will help. If you're not in a position of authority, I still hope this story will help you because it takes our obedience and it takes us wanting to be God pleasers more than we want to be man pleasers. Our willingness to do, be, say, and see what God would have us do and not what man would have us do. And there lies the ultimate success. He said, well, where do you get that in the Bible? Well, take a look at Solomon. Solomon asked for wisdom. And the rest was added to him as long as he was obedient. When he started getting out of whack or out of line, then his life started getting out of line. His kingdom started getting out of line. Is your life in line? Is your little private kingdom in line? Something to think about. Oh.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Curtis. That's a lesson there I think that we all can learn from. I appreciate you sharing that with us. Thank you for joining us here at Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries. God bless.